Oh, look how beautiful. Okay, take a breath, everybody. Let's give thanks now. Breathe. Breathe in. Breathe up. All the way up. Up to the highest part of our being. Let's get excited about this. Let's breathe in and up to the highest part of our being. Meditation doesn't always have to be a slow, breathy voice, but it can be an enthusiastic voice, an enthusiastic mind. Breathe in, breathe up. And once you reach the highest part of your being, as I like to do, I like to announce to myself, affirm to myself, that Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you know that with me? The Christ in me is awake now. Now you are welcome to keep your eyes open. You are welcome to close them. It's entirely up to you. This lovely little Buddha statue here has no aversion to the Christ word. For what is the Christ but the awakened mind? The anointed one, it was called. Jesus didn't even know the word. But the Christ in me, awake now, lets me remember God. At the essence of my being. It lets me remember intelligence at the essence of my being. It lets me remember life, truth, and substance. Wisdom, peace, and joy. Love and health and wealth at the essence of my being. And so the Christ awake in me encompasses all of these aspects of God and even more. It encompasses every aspect of God in its purest state, in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being, head to toe and toe to head. The anointing, the memory, the awakened state. The Christ awakened in me, I am awakened to God. With the Christ awakened in me, I am awakened to God. Let's take that thought and let's take it into the silence, whether you keep an open eye and look at the flames or you close your eyes. Just think about that. With the Christ awakened in me, I am awakened to God. Let's go on in. Christ awakened in me. I am awakened to God. I am awakened to life and life more abundant. I am awakened to all of my good, present and active in my mind, in my vision, in my experience. I am awakened to what God is. And in my awakening, I know how to think it, how to say it, and how to do it. I know how to experience it. And so in this divine awakening, I feel my connection to all beings. I admit my connection to all beings. And I move forward. Forward, more conscious than I've ever been before. So knowing this, let's start to bring our focus back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. So let's listen to our new friend, Dedri Francois.
Celebrate the divinity in me, led by spirit joyfully. Namaste and blessed be I only.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Dedri. I'm so grateful for that. You know, today's talk is called The Simplicity of Spirituality. And the simplicity of it is just to acknowledge it. You know, the definition of namaste is I bow to you. But it's if you look in the mirror, you're going to say, I bow to you. And to look at this, oh, I bow to my divinity. I bow to the good that is in me. I am open to the good that is in me, and I say thank you for it. In the 12-step recovery, they talk a lot about defects of character. And my thought is, because there are shortcomings and what have you, I don't think we have a ton of defects of character. I think we have a lot of symptoms of it. I think we have one, defect of character. And that defect, depends where you studied your for broadcasting. There's one defect. And it's our unwillingness to accept our divinity. Think about that. If we all just accepted our divinity, our oneness with spirit, therefore our oneness with each other, who would hurt anybody else? How would we ever do harm to ourselves or to anyone else? How would we ever have another resentment if we accepted our divinity? There is the simplicity of spirituality, the simplicity of spirit, the simplicity of living as I am rather than as I am not. And so to pay attention to all that, and I think we can get, we would have a lot less self-criticism because I'm just too busy being God, being me, or being me, being God. I'm not sure what all that is, but the acknowledgement that I am one with spirit. Here we go.
I can do hard things.
Well, how about that?
I am strong. God is in every breath I take. And every choice I make.
I like that. I just bought this at the convention. I love me. They said it's for kids, but I think it's kids for two and older.
I breathe deeply and feel peace in my heart.
I love this thing.
I know that I am loved.
You can get one of these for yourself. I'm not trying to sell them, but you can get one of these things. You go to unityworldheadquarters.org and go to the bookstore, and they do sell them online.
Each day is a new beginning. Every day I learn and grow.
Oh, I like that. I like them all. And so to listen to these things, these affirmations and these reminders of what it is we want to experience and what it is we can experience. I witnessed an impressive thing for me that happened for me, with me, to me. On the last day of the convention, on my way to the airport, I stopped at Unity Village. And for those of you who don't know, they have built a new labyrinth. And it's the largest labyrinth in the United States. And it's moved up from the old parking lot where it was, up right up by outside the Fillmore Chapel and the Unity, it's behind the Unity Inn. And it's big. It's a big, beautiful labyrinth. You can go online and look at it. They have pictures and things. There was nobody around, so I decided to walk it. And whenever I walk labyrinths, I like to sing to myself, chant, really, is what I do. I don't sing in a big tune. I like to chant. And on this particular day, the sun was just burning like nobody's business, and I didn't care because I was busy praying. And that's what all our chants are. All our music are prayers, in case you don't know that. They're not meant for entertainment nearly so much as the words are a prayer. One of my favorite chants to sing on a labyrinth is, light and joy and peace abide in me. Light and joy and peace abide in me. I'm not who I made myself. I'm as God created me. Light and joy and peace abide in me. I am and forever will be exactly who God created me to be. I am and forever will be exactly who God created me to be. Light and joy and peace. So, you know, going on like that. There's also all sorts of wonderful songs you can sing. I'm thankful, so grateful. I'm one with the Spirit all around me. I'm thankful, so grateful. I trust in God. Right now, I cannot for the life of me download the song I was singing that day on that labyrinth. These are other songs I like to sing a lot, and I have sung them on the other old labyrinth, but this other one I just it'll come to me in the middle of this talk. You watch, Spirit, find it for me. Divine Mind, find it for me. Anyway, so what I saw that day is I went over there. I wanted to pray. I wanted to experience the new labyrinth, which is all the bricks are hand laid, and it takes your breath away a little bit. At least took mine. But that night, you know, I flew back. Easy flight. Easiest flight I have ever had out of Kansas City. We weren't even 2 seconds late. And came into LaGuardia, and we left. Oh, by the way, Kansas City has a brand new airport. They've built a new airport there by the old one. And it's like a real airport now, and not a barn with a stable. And it's really convenient and easy and nice. They have a couple of restaurants in it. So I fly back to LaGuardia and I get my car, pick up my car where I left it the week before at a parking place over there across the way. And I have had for several years now a phobia about bridges. And I know phobias are not real, but they sure feel real. And I had to drive over the Whitestone Bridge coming back, and I'm going to drive over the bridge. There are some bridges I have not driven over in the past few years because they're just too much for me. But I've been working at it. And on this particular night, a couple of Fridays ago, they're coming right up on the bridge, and I go over it, and I was not afraid. That's what I saw. And I heard a little voice say, Sean, you're supposed to be afraid here today. See, the old patterns, whatever that was doing to serve me before, it can't serve me by making me afraid anymore. But I heard the voice say, Sean, you're supposed to be afraid here. Why aren't you afraid? And I said, because I'm not afraid. And it was really that simple. I just wasn't afraid. I didn't do anything magical or mystical. What I did see, though, is I walked a labyrinth that day. I prayed, I chanted. Not to do anything but to connect to God. That's why I pray. I don't pray to get something. I pray to know I have something. But the one thing I have is what I call God. And so driving over the bridge, how easy that was, and zipped on home. The next day we were going up to Rhode Island over some bridges. Hey, Sean, you're supposed to be afraid here. Yeah, but I'm not. And I'm not bragging. I'm just not. Thank you, God. And I went on about my merry way, drove back the same way. I prayed on Friday. Things were different Friday night and Saturday. And all week long, any bridges I've driven over have been fine. I drove to the city the other night, no problem. And so I find it fascinating what prayer can do. But my prayers are always so that I can know my source. Always that I can know my source. My prayers are never, God, please give me. It's foolish to do that. I like what Matthew Fox said. To pray asking for something is actually to affirm the absence of it. And I thought that makes sense, because if I'm asking God or anybody to say, to please give me this, what I'm saying is I don't have it, so I need it to be given to me. And I don't want to do that anymore. I want to know that I have it. And what I really want to know that I have is my God self, hence my divinity, choosing to accept my divinity rather than the absence of it, or to put it away because I still have some unkindness to deal with. At this point, I would gladly, gladly release any and all attachment to where I feel I have been wronged. I would gladly have that lifted from me and without me fighting to keep it. There would be no claw marks on them. I don't need unforgiveness in my life. I'm not saying I don't have unforgiveness in my life. Let's be very clear here. I still have some. And I can feel it even as I'm talking about it. But if that were to entirely leave me, that I have no attachment to them, because I'm okay with it now. I just, it's not going to pay off the way I had hoped. So I gladly release and I let go any attachment to any sense of having been wronged. Now let's see with that prayer to see what happened there. But the reason for it is there is a source within me, a divine source, and I call it God. I also call it Holy Spirit. That's part of the source. I guess Holy Spirit would be the activity of the source for me. And so to think about it and say, oh, so my source and my supply is God, and that's what I need to know. So I referenced the 12 steps earlier. And that sixth step, we were entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character. And if I think about the good orderly direction, I was entirely ready to have good orderly direction, lift my defects of character. And if my only defect of character is my unwillingness to accept my divinity. Now, in that activity of the unwillingness to accept my divinity, we become liars and thieves and things like that. But those are symptoms of it. The true defect is my unwillingness to accept my divinity. And as I become more and more willing, I do accept my divinity. And the symptoms, they get pushed way away. The symptoms aren't active presences in my life anymore. It doesn't mean I forget them, but I'm not attached to them. And the seventh step says we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Well, my thought is, what is humbly ask? Well, if I'm moving in good orderly direction, the humility is in expecting the best. Because I'm taking these actions in good orderly direction, I expect to accept my divinity. I expect it. You know, the removal of my shortcoming is my unwillingness to accept my divinity. So the expectations in true humility would be to expect my my divinity to be active and present in my conscious mind now, in my conscious body. And I'll just a little bit more lesson on the 12 steps. The 11th step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. So when I came to unity, I realized, oh, this is my 11th step. This is where I seek to know God, fully God's will for me. And what is unity but a prayer ministry? So sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. And Charles Fillmore said that prayer is conscious communion with God. And so, if you want G-O-D, if you conscious communion with good orderly direction, if that's what you want, by all means, use it. There's no rule there. None of us are coming down from the mount. I'm sharing my wisdom, my experience, my knowledge on how I have effectively prayed. And then because I have effectively prayed, I've seen all sorts of what we call problems fall by the wayside. But my goal was not to get rid of the problems. Let's be clear this over and over again. That's not my goal. It's to get rid of the problems. My goal is always to know my source better. Because any answered prayer came by way of the source and my willingness to participate in it. I have a friend, and he didn't make this up, but the old thing, pray to God, but row to shore. Because you know that old, if you don't know that old story about there's a flood and man, he goes up to the first floor and somebody goes banging on the door and says, hey, we can get you. We've got a boat. We can get you out of here. He said, oh, no, thank you. My God will rescue me. And he gets up a little higher and a bigger boat comes along. We're here to rescue you. He says, oh, no, my God will save me. He gets up on the roof. A helicopter comes along and says, we're here to rescue you. Oh, no, my God will save me. He drowns. He gets to meet his maker, however that happens. And the man says, what happened? I thought you were going to save me. And God says, I sent you a boat. I sent you people. I sent a rescue team. I sent a helicopter. What's with you? Why didn't you accept any of them? Pray, row to shore where necessary. And so I have to, that's why I like good, orderly direction as for my God. It's not something I have to pray to up in the sky. Well, that's not going to do any good. I need consciousness of God. That's what I need. So I'm going to read this to you from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And let me find it here. It comes from James, the book of James, actually. We don't get to him a lot. Chapter 2, verse 5, and it says, "The many ways of the world are distractions for you. To be caught up in them is to be caught up in the world. This is not the path to awakening. You are the leader of your own awakening through the Spirit that does not desire the ways of the world, but humbly expects the best, but humbly desires freedom from those ways. And so it does not reach out to the world, but it watches and accepts, knowing and trusting that the path it is on is its own path to enlightenment, because the path that is being walked in the path it has already chosen and given to itself." So let's stop using the world as a distraction to keep us from accepting our divinity. Let's not tell us all these terrible things that are happening in the subways and use that to distract us from our divinity. Let's not talk about, oh, it's so hot out. Oh, the smoke is so terrible. Oh, my age. Oh, my body. Oh, my this. Oh, my that. Oh, no, it says, oh, my God is so good. Oh, my God is so good. And I don't even have to know what that means, but I am willing to know my good God. I am willing to know my good love. I am willing to know my good intelligence. I am willing to know my good wisdom. You know, keep it the simplicity of spirit. Do not complicate it. Do not tell God what is wrong in the world. Tell yourself what is good about God, what is right and true about God, and therefore right and true about yourself. Look in your mirror and say, "Hi, God." It's hard not to smile when you say, "Hi, God." And so I witnessed connection a couple of weeks ago because I sang. I sang my prayer. And I like singing my prayers. I have these wonderful chants. I'm thankful, so grateful. I'm one with the Spirit all around me. All those things. Even the every little cell sign. Every little cell in my body is healthy. You know, all those are wonderful prayers and affirmations. And so, accept your divinity today. But keep it simple. Don't try to come, "Well, what is my divinity?" Don't worry about that. Your divinity is just your knowing of your oneness with God. It is your memory of what you are. Don't try to make it up. Just know, if you want to know, you will be told. It will download, as it were, into you, and you will know.
I am healthy, whole, strong, and creative. I am honest and stand up for what is right. My heart shares love. My hands help others. My life brings light to the world.
How about that? So, she said those speaking, but we're going to sing right now. Dedry is going to lead us in her song, Sing, Sing, Sing. Thanks, everybody.
Hello, family. Guess what we're going to do right now? Sing.
As I breathe, God leads me. As I sing, God's my lips. As I dance, God is the rhythm in me. It makes me sing, sing, sing. So I sing, sing, sing. Sing and shout praises. So I sing, sing, sing. My energy raises. So I sing, sing, sing. All the joy inside of me. Sing, 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 sing. As I shine, God's my light. As I live, God's my life. As I love, God is the love within me. It makes me sing, sing, sing. So I sing, sing, sing. Sing and shout praises. So I sing, sing, sing. My energy raises. So I sing, sing, sing. All the joy inside of me.
Sing, 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 yeah, sing, sing, sing. sing and shout, praises.
Yeah, I sing, sing, sing.
My energy raises. Praises.